And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came to where he was, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of this very familiar portion of his holy work. Now in these nights of ministry we have been seeking to prepare our hearts in view of the privileges and responsibilities that will be upon us in relation to our work in the gospel. And I felt that we have heard the voice of God in many aspects, in many realms, and in many ways, from the very portions of Holy Scripture that we were exercised to bring before you nightly. Now, in bringing this familiar portion tonight, I don't propose to be saying anything that you have never heard, that you have not heard before. How could anyone present anything new, shall we say that carefully, from such a very precious, well-known, and often preached passage of the Word of God? I'm not going to derive assembly principles from this incident tonight. I'm not going to tell you what the inn is or any such thing. There are those that can do that. I leave that to them. But I think, in view of what is before us, there are many lessons we can learn from the incident which arises out of this inquiry by this lawyer. And I want you to think of how the Lord Jesus Christ answers this man. This is one thing that is very interesting, isn't it? To be reading the Gospels and to observe very carefully how the Lord Jesus Christ answers certain questions. He does it, of course, in very well. Sometimes he answers a problem by asking questions. Sometimes he goes into the path of the parable, as he does here, and gives us this beautiful picture that is so very precious to us in the Gospel, as we have used it many times in connection with that glorious message. But I think it's good to see tonight that this incident is very, very much a parallel to what is before us in the weeks that lie ahead. And with that in view, I want us to see how our attitude to the unsaved can take either one form or the other, as presented in the Lord's answer to the lawyer. Now, as I see it, there are interesting individuals in the story. I can see the lawyer is worthy of our consideration. I can see the priest as well as the Levite. And right away you must acknowledge that those three men are part of a system then present that was affected and was affecting the situation generally in the nation. They stand for a system that was existent religiously in the nation at that time. The lawyer, the priest, and the Levite. On the other hand, there is the Samaritan, and I think we do well to include the innkeeper, the host, both capable of showing the one finger, care and compassion. And these two stand on the other side of the picture, and possibly they represent, I think they do, the other new thing which is being introduced in the Lord's ministry. I would call it tonight the resources of grace. Here is a man who has resources that he ministers freely to this poor wretch that is stranded and stripped and almost dead by the wayside. And this man likewise finds in the inn and in the innkeeper continued resources that do anything, do nothing but maintain what he has begun. And so they stand apart. And in between you have the man himself, who is the victim of the thief, and who becomes the object of interest as far as the Samaritan and the host is concerned. So you can see how the story is very simply divided into these three compartments. There is that which represents the system which was failing and which was fruitless and without feeling. And then there are those that represent the ministry of grace and love and resource that could meet the man as he was. Now, we look first of all at the lawyer. He is the one who introduces the principle, or introduces the parable or the picture, by his question. And the Lord Jesus Christ answers him by saying, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Now, you can see how this man is approached on his own ground. He is acquainted with the law as to what it says. And he would be acquainted with its interpretation. What is written? How readest thou? That is, you're acquainted with the text. Yes. And you know the interpretation. Yes. Well, now that's very good. That would embrace the most of us tonight, wouldn't it? I think the most of us know a fair mark. I don't think that there are very many of us having any difficulty on the path of knowledge. What is written? How readest thou? And, of course, he draws on his resources and he can freely quote Holy Scripture. Now that would seem admirable, wouldn't it? Well, the most of us can do that. The most of us are extremely good at quoting Scripture. So we have at least a link without being too forceful with this gentleman. What is written? He knows. The interpretation? He understands. And the quotation? He has to the very letter. But the problem with this lawyer is the problem with most of us, fellow saints. Now you remember the little word we had last night. It had only two letters. And the word that lies along that word is also in the passage tonight with two letters. And what does the Savior say? And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do. See? This do. That was his problem. On the surface of my message tonight, this was his real problem. With all his knowledge, with all his understanding, with all his ability to quote, the Lord Jesus puts his hand upon the real problem of the man when he says this do. You see, in the context of my exhortive message tonight, it's the doing that counts. Now we know there's going to be gospel meetings. He says a very simple observation. Well, let's hold on. And you know what consists in gospel meetings. You don't need to be told. But brethren, it's going to be the doing that really counts. The doing. We'll not be so much interested in your tremendous knowledge. And we'll not be so much interested in your correct interpretation. And we'll not be so much interested in your very, very fluent quotation. What I'll be interested in as a servant of God, and what I feel we'll all be interested in, is the measure in which each one of us in this building now that will be free and able, what we'll do. What we'll do. Now, of course, when saints are faced up with what they must do, what must they do? Well, they must attend every night, because I have to attend every night. I mean, I have to attend. And the brethren should be at the prayer meeting. Need I list out what we have to do? We want to be frantic. Must I list it out for you? I think that you know it. But in the very repeating of these things, brethren, someone might say, but Mr. Bentley, you must realize this. And he willing to justify himself saying, who is my neighbor? When the point of the Savior's word reached on this dude, he was quick to retort, but who is my neighbor? That is, he willing to justify himself. You see, it's all right for you, but you don't understand my circumstances. And you must understand this, Mr. Preacher, that I'm not be here every night. Good? And that I have this to do, and I have that to do, and I have something else, and it's a pity I didn't know before because I might have done this or I might have done that. Isn't that the way brethren and sisters speak today? And they know that it's a question of doing. question of being here, brethren. It's a question of being here to pray. It's a question of bringing the unsaved in under the sound of the gospel. It's a question of that. He willing to justify himself again to say, but this is the problem of the Lord. He was confronted with the penetrating word of the Lord Jesus, this do. When that simple word gripped him, instead of it giving him the propulsive power to do, he stepped aside and he paid it the issue and began to question further, who is my name? As if he didn't know. He knew the law. He knew so much. His quotation was accurate. His knowledge was just as good as you would find. Why does he then say, in all ignorance and in all simplicity, apparently, who is my neighbor? That was motivated by a natural inclination to avoid the penetrating power of God's word to the soul. If I can only absolve myself from some responsibility, says the lawyer, then I'm at ease. Brethren, if there's any soul in this meeting, any brother or any sister has a desire to absolve themselves from any sense of responsibility, I trust they'll go home and look at this law. Realize that that's just you. Willing to justify yourself, you would seek to step aside and even tempt the Lord. Yeah. Tempt the Lord. He tempted the Lord in his question. He knew the answer, but he proposed not to know the meaning and not to know the application. He knew it all. He knew who wanted me. And he asked him, tempted him, failing as though he could, as though he would. And very motive in the presence of an all-seeing God. You can't do that. It would have been better if he had gone away. He hadn't said anything at all and just accepted the word do. And have carried out the word of the Lord, because when the Lord followed up his remarks, you can hear that the man stands confessed, for when he's asked the second time, which of the three were neighbor unto him? What does he say? He said, he that showed mercy. That's in you. You got the full weight of the Lord's words. He must have stood with his head bowed in the presence of the Lord. The Lord brought this issue clearly. Now let us look at the priest. The priest, we will try and make it a little bit easier for him, won't we? Because we will say that when he saw this man by the roadside, we would say that ceremonially he wasn't allowed to touch him. He wasn't allowed to touch a dead body, or what appeared to be a dead body. Well, if that lets him out, very good, but I don't think it does in the passage now. The thing that I want you to see is this. I think the telling word in verse 31 about this priest is the kind of thing that I'm afraid of for some of God's people. What is it? The word chance. By chance.
Now, brethren,
I would like to think that I'm on this platform tonight,
Elijah.
And I hope that you're not in this meeting tonight, just by chance. If you just drop in for the sake of dropping, you're like the priest, and you'll be as powerless and as feelingless as the priest. For Christians that are chancing their way through life have no feeling, have no aim, have no purpose, and are useless instruments in the hands of the blessed Lord. And by chance, that man couldn't be you. Only chancing his way through life. He's not moving with purpose. He's not moving with conviction. He's not moving as governed by compassion.
He's governed by chance. By chance. Oh, brethren, it's going to be really serious if these meetings are only by chance. We'll not do much for the poor unsaved that are lying in these streets without Christ if we're moving in these meetings by chance. You might be well dressed, like a priest. You might have privilege, like a priest. But the propelling power is gone. You're only moving aimlessly. I wonder, is there a young person, an older person in the meeting would be examined in the presence of God now as to their life, as to their living? Or am I just chancing my way through life, down the street, into the hall, and out again, without an eye of compassion for the lost on the other side? Wouldn't even probably touch coats with them. I haven't time to apply the practical implications of this chance life. Look at the Levite. It says about the Levite, the key word about the Levite is that he looked on him. He looked on him. He wasn't just as bad as the priest. This Levite, it says, came and looked on him. Now you take time, if you're interested, to examine the strength of that word look. Man, he read up the situation. If you had asked him afterward, he would have given you a graphic account of how the man was. He observed. He made an assessment of the situation. In spite of the fact that he did that, he left the man as he found him. Now, brethren, I want you to be governed by the principles here. You know, there are many saints of God who come to meet it, see the unsaved, and know they need Christ. Now, I'm going to drop this for you because I don't want you to do it. And you'll disturb me very much in these meetings if you do that. Can't get out of the door quick enough. As soon as the last word of the last hymn is sung, bang goes the hymn book on the seat. And right. Now this is a characteristic of the meetings in this part of the world. Thank God we don't have that where we come from. My brethren and sisters, keep an eye for the person that's asleep. And they'll say to him, did you understand the meaning, the message? No.
Would you like to
see the future. Sometimes I've been preaching the gospel and I've seen people interested and I couldn't find brethren to pray while I was handling them. Where were they? All the way home. Left the doorkeeper to lock the door. I thought they were all praying in the anteroom. They're all gone away home. Oh yes, they're in a desperate situation. It seemed that there was something interesting. Passed by. He looked. He assessed the situation. He knew there was a need. But is in such a hurry. Things were moving. I haven't time to deal with the man himself because you know what he represents. Brethren, he represents the locality as a whole and the individuals in it that are stripped and have been smitten by the power of sin and are lying tonight naked in their sinfulness. How dare you? On the roads and the streets and the lanes and as you and I move every day. And what is physical here is only indicative of the moral and the spirit of our loved ones, of the men and women of this district, and of the stranger that God will bring in. You know that on the way down. Need I paint that picture to them? You know they're on the way down. And you know, dear friends, that if they're not saved, they'll go lower than the grave. I don't need to paint for such an audience tonight the need that is represented in the man that fell among thieves. He's a picture of every unsaved soul that will cross the threshold of evening. And of any unsaved soul that's in the meeting. Now, I must leave those three men, the lawyer, willing to justify himself. Don't expect me at every meeting. The priest is only moving by chance anyhow. You can't use him. You can't do anything with a man like that. He's away before you get the hand on him. He's only moving in and out because he likes the place. He has no interest in the need of the soul that lies there. But then I want to be kind. Here's this other element, brethren, that we can do something with. The men that are prepared to look. I wonder could we just take a step further now and see the Samaritan as he journeyed. Destination in view. A purpose in mind. Moving with aim and intent. Governed by interest. Carrying resources, never found in an emergency without the qualifications and without the qualities that's needed for the occasion. That's the Samaritan. He has prepared for his journey. He has brought into his possession things that will be ministered freely and effectively to the need of those that he meets in the journey. He's a man of resource. He's a man of purpose. The impossible, brethren, for this poor wretch not to catch the eye of the compassionate Samaritan. Impossible. And as he journeyed, came the very one. Ah, the oil, however costly, the wine, however precious, that doesn't mean anything to this man. Selfishness is gone.
resources, possessions, time, love, energy, the Lord
ministered to the man that lies on the roadside. That is, everything this man is for that man. Is it his money? Is it his time? He'll come again. Is it his energy? He'll put him on his own beast. Is it his resources? He'll pour in all in one. Is it compassion? He'll take care of him.
That's the kind of brother we're looking for these meetings.
Are you prepared to wait to pray? Are you prepared to knock a door? Are you prepared to grace the place with a praying atmosphere and an interest in your presence? All the practicalities that one could mention come in here now. The Lord Jesus reveals the resources that were available in the hands of this man. An open heart, he knew was there. An open door, he knew was there. A waiting chair, he knew was there. In spite of all the labor and time and energy, the Lord Jesus presents to us the forces of grace must be and can be used upon him. If only we could see that man raised from his condition, delivered, rescued. We put it in our language now, saved by the grace of God. Well, I know God can save apart from anyone. Oh yes, I know that. But then, we're having gospel meetings, and we're having a preacher, and we're wanting the assembly to help. Therefore, because of these things, we are mutually dependent on one another. May God make us Samaritans. Good Samaritans, if you like. Our blessed God, we just look to thee now for thy blessing upon thy word. The practical nature of these things is very great. And we pray that we'll be able to take them to our hearts in the challenge they are intended to bring. Forbid, Lord, that we are chancing our way through life. O blessed God, forbid. Help us to move with purpose day in and day out. The brethren at their work, in the office, in the college, in the factory, in the shop. The mother in the home, the woman in the street, the young person at school. Help us all, blessed God, to be engaged with purpose of heart, with one aim and object of rescuing men from their sin and eternal judgment. Seeing them saved by the grace of God. Help us to this end, we pray, in the week that now will come upon us in thy name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I thought we would sing a hymn just as we're leaving. What a beautiful hymn, too, it is. 147. I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which naught can sever, for I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. Verses 1 and 3. Of 147. Maybe Sanderson.